Hallelujah. Praise God for his goodness. Amen.
Amen.
And for his faithfulness.
Amen.
A little while ago, I was getting ready to come here. I tried to go home and get some rest on a Wednesday afternoon. And on the way back tonight, I just started thinking about how sometimes we take for granted the blood of Jesus. The fact of what it cost him, how he suffered to release that blood so that our sins could be cleansed, so that we could be purchased, ransomed out of the slavery of sin. And I know we say these things sometimes, but do we really truly understand the significance of it? And what God invested by giving the blood of his only son. I pray that when we get done with this, or not even wait till the end of this series, that we would start developing appreciation, have a reverence and a holiness for the fact that if it were not for the blood of Jesus, you and I would be hopefully lost for all of eternity. Our sins would be stuck to us. There'd be no way for us to get free from them. Somebody had to pay the price for you and I to be able to be rescued and brought back into relationship with our Father in heaven. So I'm going to review very quickly, those of you that may not have been here last Wednesday night when we started the series is called The Blood Covenant. And how many of you, be honest, I want to know how much time to spend here on some basic things. How many of you can honestly say that you never really heard about this whole concept of blood covenant? Can I just see your hands? Just one, two. Come, don't be ashamed. Come on. Okay. All right. The rest of you we're going to have mercy on. And I say that, you know, half jokingly, but the truth is, the first time I remember sitting under teaching regarding this blood covenant and the whole concept of it, I realized, even though I had been saved for a few years at that time, that I really hadn't read the Bible yet.
Yes.
And I mean, when I got saved, when I first got born again, I jumped into the Bible. I mean, I'd spend hours and hours a night. And I was still smoking back then, so I'd go through a half pack of cigarettes reading the Bible. Yeah. My wife would yell at 1 o'clock in the morning, "You coming to bed?" "Oh, yeah, one more chapter. But when I finally sat under someone who taught this subject of blood covenant, then I realized, oh my God, what have I been, you don't know the Bible until you understand that it literally is written in blood, and it starts from the very first few chapters, there's blood on the scene. When Adam and Eve sinned, most of you might remember, the first thing that God did was animals were slain, their skins were taken fresh from these animals and placed on Adam and Eve to cover their shame, to cover their nakedness. And of course, you realize that they didn't even realize they were naked until that point when sin came into the world. So we've got the very first animal sacrifice, the very first blood mentioned in the scriptures, and it's not coincidental that it was in direct relationship with the covering of sin, the getting rid of shame, the getting rid of the guilt and condemnation. And please, don't, it was not to appease an angry God. The blood sacrifices were never to appease God. It was to cover man coming into God's presence still in sin. Because you understand, okay? And then that we can't come into God's presence with sin. You say, "Well, Pastor, I still sin even though I'm born again." Yeah, but he received the blood of Jesus on your behalf. And truthfully, it's not just one of those religious cliche things. When God looks at us, those that are born again, those that have already received Christ as Lord and Savior, he's not seeing you. You're in Christ. He sees Christ. Somebody better say, "Thank God for that." He's not seeing you. He's not seeing you with all your flaws and your issues and your baggage and all your unresolved things and all that. He sees us perfected in Christ. Remember that so important foundational scripture of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. "For by one sacrifice he perfects forever those that are being sanctified." Okay? Can you put that, Dennis, can you put that scripture up there? Let's talk about that a little bit. This is something you need to understand. If you don't understand this process, you really don't understand what it's like to really be born again and to understand the process of what happens in our life from the moment that we're born again to the moment that we take our last breath and we step into eternity. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, New King James Version, if you got that. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Romans chapter 5 after we go through this scripture, so you might want to skip ahead to there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. You got it? Okay. Now, if you're going to skip ahead to something and you don't want to read the whole book of Hebrews, then go to Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, and it's just so full of the richness of all that Christ has done for us. Okay. For by one offering. Now, who's that one offering?
Jesus.
One time. Turn to somebody, say, one time. Okay, Jesus is not going to the cross six times on a Sunday morning. Are you listening to me? Okay, how many former Catholics or maybe even still practicing Catholics do we have? Come on, wave your hand. Don't be afraid. We're not going to hold it against you. Okay, we're not sacrificing Jesus every Sunday. Okay, they call it, I could talk about it because I was one, okay? It's called the sacrifice of the Mass. We're not sacrificing Jesus every time we take communion. We're not sacrificing Jesus. We remember Jesus in communion. But it was one offering. One offering. For by one offering, he, Jesus, has perfected forever those who are what? Come on. Now let's do it the right way. Those that are being sanctified. The process starts when you say, Jesus, I believe in you, commit to my life, be my Lord, be my Savior. Your spirit is perfected. Your spirit, what's perfected?
Spirit.
Your spirit, don't get it mixed up. It doesn't mean your soul's not perfected. Your soul will not be perfected until we get to heaven, okay? There's always going to be something. All right, what's that? Next verse? We don't need that because I'm going to get off and then I won't get in my notes. So just stick with 14. So we're being sanctified. So it's your spirit that's perfected. Who's the real you?
Spirit.
Everybody sits here going, oh my God, is this a trick? Your spirit is who God created. He created you, your spirit, just like him. Okay? We have a soul, right?
Yes.
We possess a soul. Yes. Sometimes the soul possesses us. Okay? And we live in a what? Body. So we tripartite nature, just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You didn't get it? Okay, God said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness. And God exists as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So if we're created in his image and his likeness, then there should be something tripart or triune about us. Yes or no? We are spirit. We possess a soul. And they live in a body. You got that? So when you got born again, what part of you got affected?
Spirit.
Your spirit. Your soul did not get affected. Now, your soul might have got excited. Your soul perceived a change. Not the same, not thinking the same. But your soul is not perfected. Your soul needs to be regenerated. Your soul needs to be renewed. Your mind needs to be renewed. You need to be transformed. Okay? That's a lifelong process. Amen? So you can have baggage in your soul. You can have, and I feel like I'm talking to somebody tonight. You can have unresolved issues, but that doesn't mean that you're not saved. Like Joyce Meyer says, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. Okay? That's a process. That's why it's important for us to study the Word. That's why it's important for us to come to church and sit under the Word. It's important for us to interact with each other. Why? Because your soul has to be transformed. Well, I love God, but I hate people. Well, your soul needs to be transformed. I'd rather sit home and... No, you need to come to church because you need to rub up against us so we can aggravate you so that you can develop your love walk. You don't develop, if you're on a desert island by yourself, you don't develop a love walk. You got nobody to argue with. There's nobody to, you know, tell you look funny. Or there's nothing to rub against. We need each other. Turn to somebody and say, I need you. And you need me. Are you listening? All right, let's get, because this is going off course here. Let's get back on track. Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You guys going to start bringing your Bibles to church? Are you guys going to start bringing your Bibles to church? We'll start giving out little stars and little treats. And bring your Bible to church. It's important. Okay? This is important for you to be looking at this while you're hearing teaching. Why? Because this needs to be different than your phone. Well, I got my Bible app on my phone. You have Facebook on your phone. You got Instagram on your phone. You got TikTok on your phone. And God knows what else you got on your phone that you don't want anybody to know about. So there needs to be a distinction. There needs to be a distinction. Okay, as I go to my iPad. Romans chapter 5, we're reviewing. Verse 6. Somebody said that to me one time a couple of years ago. You keep telling us about your Bible, but you're teaching us to have it on iPad. I went, okay. All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 6. This is all review again, okay? Now, we got to get going because you guys made me waste like 15 minutes already. When we were utterly helpless, what does that mean? In what state in our lives are we utterly helpless? Before we came to Christ, right? We're utterly helpless. We're still utterly helpless. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Next verse. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who was especially good. Okay, we see that in wartime. We see that, you know, war heroes. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Amen?
Amen.
And since we have been made right in God's sight, here's the important part. Don't let this go. Okay? And since we've been made right in God's sight, how?
By
the blood of Christ, the blood of Messiah, the blood of the Son of God. It's his blood. It's his blood. You can't take the blood out of Christianity. We've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ. He looked at our sin. He looked at the blood. He looked at our sin. He looked at the blood. He looked at our degeneracy. He looked at the blood. Okay? He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Where are we? Verse 9. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we're still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
We talked a lot about Abraham over the past weekend. We're going to talk a lot about Abraham this coming weekend too. But there's a point in time, and I'm not going to cover this weekend, not yet, where God changes Abraham's name. He goes from Abram to Abraham, okay? He changes it. At that point, God begins to refer to Abraham as his friend. That is a covenant term. Okay, we're talking about, what are we talking about tonight? The blood covenant. When there's a covenant that's made, there's blood that has to be shed. That's basically what we're going to be talking about for the next number of weeks. Now get ready, because the last time I taught this years ago, it was 18 weeks. Not doing that this time. Not doing that this time, okay? My kids are going, Dad, when are you going to get done with this series? I'm like, well, there's so much to cover, you know. So we're not going to go 18 weeks. So we're going to go more than four, I'll tell you that much. Okay, but that's what this is all about. Your relationship with God is based on the blood that his son shed. Do you understand that? Say, what do you make it such a big deal out of it? Because when somebody sheds blood for you, that's a special thing. So why is it so important to us? Because think about this. When you get tempted to sin, think about what it cost him. When you get tempted to go off in a different direction that you know you're not supposed to go in. When you get tempted to be disobedient to what you believe God is showing you for your life or what path you're supposed to take, try to remember that blood. Try to see. I've mentioned this to you quite a few times over the years. When I feel like I'm getting stale in my relationship, I'll go watch The Passion of the Christ. And there's times when I have to fast forward to them. I can't watch it. But it puts me back in that. And listen, it was way worse than what's depicted in that movie. And I go, how can I do that? How can I turn away from him? How can I ignore him? How can I not stay loyal to him with all that he suffered? And I'm not trying to bring us into a place of guilt or condemnation. It's a place of reverence and a place of respect. And that blood was shed for us so that we could be called friends of God. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says that we've been brought back into fellowship. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near. How? By the blood of Christ. Without the blood of Christ, a man is a long way from God. We come to him based on the blood. Amen?
Amen.
His blood made peace with God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. Jesus shed his blood to bring everybody back into relationship with the Father. And listen, this is the crazy part. As far as God is concerned, all of mankind has been reconciled to him. But not all of mankind has received that reconciliation. That's the horrible nightmare of when a human being ends up in hell. There was no reason for it. Their sin was already paid for. The blood was already shed for them. Yet they refuse to acknowledge that, refuse to accept that gift, and end up in a place separated from God for all of eternity. His blood redeems us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life which you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And every time we see blood sacrifice throughout the Word of God, anytime we see any kind of blood sacrifice, it should remind us of the covenant. Now, covenant is a contract or agreement between two parties. And the reason for covenant could be for coming into covenant, or we really more accurately should say cutting covenant. A covenant is cut. A covenant, you say, well, a covenant is agreed to. A covenant, no, it's cut. Something's got to be cut. There's got to be bloodshed. Blood has to be shed in order for a covenant to be documented and officiated. Amen?
Amen?
It could be for protection. It could be for equality. In protection, it's a weaker person or family or a nation that can seek covenant with a stronger one. So that in event of war, a stronger will defend the weaker. Today, we call those treaties. A treaty that's made between two nations, which we've seen in the past 100 years, are pretty much worthless because people's character are worthless and people's name is worthless. But in ancient times, you made a treaty. In fact, we might talk about this. Should I go there? In the book of Joshua chapter 9, okay, there's a tribe, there's a nation called the Gibeonites, okay? They're not Jews. In fact, they should be exterminated. They're among the groups of individuals that God said, wipe them out. You got to get them out of the land. And, you know, don't get this attitude like we've said, well, what kind of loving God? You don't really understand who these tribes were. Okay, you don't understand what kind of stuff they were conducting amongst themselves. You don't understand the kind of relations they were having with animals. And they had all kinds of diseases. And so God said, wipe them out. Don't even leave a flea alive. There's a reason why he did that. Because he didn't want those diseases and those lifestyles and that pagan idolatry and all this other stuff. And most of them were demon-possessed. He didn't want that to get on his people. Okay? So there's these Gibeonites. And they hear that Joshua now, because this is like way, you know, Moses is dead. Joshua now is leading people into the promised land. And so the Gibeonites hear about what Joshua was doing. What happened to Jericho? You know, the walls fell down. Shroom. Not like this. Like this. The walls fell down. Okay, so they're like scared now. So the Gibeonites get together. Man, I'm wasting a good teaching on it. I should just save this for the future. So the Gibeonites get together and they get their people, like their ambassadors, their representatives, and they dress them, even though they lived a few miles away from where Joshua was with his camp. They dress the people up with tattered rags. They give them bread that's moldy. They give, you know, it's looked like they've been traveling for days. Their shoes are worn out, everything like this. And so when they come to Joshua, Joshua says, like, who are you guys? Like, oh, we're, you know, you guys don't know us. We're like from, it took us days. And they look at our bread. It's all moldy. This was fresh out of the oven when we left our camp. When we left our village, this was fresh out of the oven. And our shoes, you know, these are like from Nordstrom. They're brand new when we left the place. And now they're all worn out and our clothes are all tattered. And so Joshua makes a mistake of not praying to God to ask, what do I do with these people? And so they beg Joshua, please make a covenant with us. We're far from here. We're not among the riffraff that lives in this neighborhood. We're like, it took us weeks to get here. So Joshua goes, this is cool. They're not our enemies. And Joshua makes a big mistake and cuts covenant with the Gibeonites. Go read it, Joshua chapter 9. Okay? Later on then, they find out that these guys live like around a corner. And they got tricked. But Joshua could not break the covenant because a covenant has spiritual implications. Joshua gave his word. So a little while later, guess what happens? The other tribes around there find out that the Gibeonites made a treaty with Joshua, cut covenant with Joshua. So they go after the Gibeonites. Guess what happens? The Gibeonites go, Joshua, your enemies are attacking us. And Joshua was forced, honor-bound, to go and defend these people. Covenant is a serious thing. Amen? So, let me tell you a story about somebody. Some of you may know this if you're a history buff. There was a man that lived back in the 1800s, later 1800s. He was actually born in 1841. His name is Henry Morton Stanley. He died in 1904. He was a British-American explorer of Central Africa. He was famous for the rescue of the Scottish missionary and explorer David Livingstone. Has anybody heard of Stanley and Livingstone? Livingstone and Stanley? There were movies made about these two. True story. This missionary from Scotland went to Central Africa, I believe in the Congo region, and was looking for, he ends up discovering one of these falls that are there, and he goes missing. Nobody knows where he is for years and years and years. Well, this journalist, who I believe Stanley was, no, he was born in Wales, and I think he spent time in America and then went back to England, and then they sent him from England to Africa to go find this guy, Livingstone. No, they hadn't heard from him for years, and he travels all over. So this is what ends up happening. Stanley gets there to Central Africa, and he starts, you know, he's got people with him. You see those movies where they got, you know, the people are carrying all their stuff, and he's got people to guard them and bodyguards and stuff. And he's going from jungle to jungle, from village to village, and he's getting no cooperation from anybody. Nobody wants to be bothered with this guy. They won't even sell him food, nothing. And because his health was in bad shape, he had a goat that he carried, took with him. And all he could survive on was goat's milk. If it wasn't for the goat's milk, his health would have deteriorated. He would have died there in the jungle. So he's going on. He's like asking the people that he hired, what is going on here? Why is it every village we go to, everybody clams up? Nobody wants to talk to us. Nobody wants to help us. And then finally, he comes up to this village where one of the most powerful chiefs in the area. It's his village. And so one of the guides that he hires says to him, you're going to have to make a covenant with the chief. And he was, what do you mean covenant? This guy's from England. He doesn't understand anything about covenant. He says, you have to cut covenant with the chief. All right, is that what's going to take? Fine. He goes, but it's going to take blood. And you have to give a gift. Because that's what you do in a covenant. And so Stanley goes, okay, if this is the way I'm going to make progress here, okay, so... He agrees to cut covenant, and just before they're going to make cuts, the chief is going to make a cut, Stanley's going to make a cut, they're going to mingle their blood together. Just before this, the guide says to him, you have to give a gift to the chief. All he's got is the goat. He needs the goat to survive. The chief says, I want the goat. And he goes, I can't do that. If I don't have the goat, I'm not going to survive. My health depends on this goat. And finally then, a couple days goes by and he goes, I don't really have a choice. So he gives the chief the goat, and the chief gives him a spear with a copper wire around it. And Stanley's like, I'm the biggest idiot in the world. But he's already made this agreement. The chief's got the goat. And then he starts noticing the next village they go to, as soon as they approach the village, the first person from the village that sees him bows to the ground in front of Stanley. And Stanley says to the guide, what's going on? He goes, you have the chief's staff. That staff represented the power of that chief. That person from this new village now understood, I can't mess with this guy, because if I mess with this guy, I'm messing with the chief. That's why last week when we were in this class, I said, where the handshake comes from. Because when you're shaking hand, I'm looking to see, okay, who is he in covenant with? Can I take them? Are they stronger than me? And he's looking, well, who are you in covenant with? Because I may have to go to battle with you. And if I go to battle with you, I'm going to battle with you and who you're in covenant with. That's covenant and that's authority of the believer. You have been given authority. I have been given authority. When you and I use the name of Jesus against the enemy, he knows we're in covenant through Jesus Christ with God Almighty, whose resources are totally unlimited, whose power is totally unlimited. You're carrying that mark in you.
Amen.
Realize who you are and realize what you got back in you. Do you understand that?
Yes.
That should have made a couple of people happy. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Now you see what I said? Once you start understanding covenant, you see the Bible completely different. Now, knowing this principle and this concept, and it's all throughout the Word of God, In fact, the book of Genesis, you see Isaac having a covenant with one of the Philistine guys. And I don't want to go into that because that's another part of the lesson for the future. And you see all the elements of covenant there. Okay, we'll talk about it in the future. Once you start understanding this, now scriptures like this take a whole different meaning on. Then he called Jesus. It's a Jesus. Then he called his disciples together and gave them what?
Power
and authority over what? All demons and to cure diseases. If we're in covenant with God Almighty and he's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us, and he is all-powerful, then what's going to harm us as long as we operate as if we're in covenant with him? And we are. That's why the name of Jesus is so important. That's why the name of Jesus should never be used frivolously. Understanding that we're exerting the power of God and the authority that he's given us. Okay? Jesus didn't say, go. Because of who you are. He said, go, because I'm giving you authority. It's my authority I'm giving you. Are you understanding this?
Yes.
Don't ever back off from the enemy. The devil's way more scared of you than you should be scared of him.
Yes.
And that's why the enemy loves to keep us ignorant of who we are and ignorant of the power that's available to us. You and I are the representatives of the kingdom of God on the earth.
Amen.
If we don't take action, if we don't operate in covenant with him, the lost are lost. I'm getting excited over it. You guys could just hang out there. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you authority to do what? Trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing by any means hurt you. Why? Because you're in covenant with God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in Christ. I'm going to go home. What time is it? I might catch Wheel of Fortune if I make it home right away. You got this?
Yes.
Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Oh, I know this scripture. Yeah, it's very familiar scripture, right? But now watch, put it in the context of covenant. Put it in the context of everything that God is available to you. But watch this now. Everything we are should be available to him.
Yes.
Oh, you got a little quiet on that side. Jesus came and spoke to them, talking about who? The disciples. This is after the resurrection. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, Pastor, that's good. That's his authority. Yeah, but where are you? You're in him. You're in him. So if you're in him, and he's got all authority, then what's available to us? All authority. Go, therefore, because of him, because of that we're in him, because he's got all authority in heaven and earth, go, therefore, and do what? Come on, guys. And do what? Make disciples. Stop there. Not just believers. Stop there. Don't go any further. Don't try to occupy your mind with the other stuff. Are we supposed to make what? What are we supposed to make?
Disciples.
Well, Pastor, I got three people saved this week. Okay, good. Well, where are they?
Yeah.
Where are they? Okay, you're here. Where are the ones that you got saved? I remember many years ago, it was an evangelist that came to this area. And they were going to sweep the whole Jersey Shore into the kingdom of God. The reports would come in. Hundreds saved on the boardwalks in Monmouth County and Ocean County. Hundreds saved. Where are they? Where are they? That's what I said. Where are they? If you got hundreds saved, where are they? Now, let me ask you a question. If you go to a stranger on the boardwalk and you go, do you want to go to hell or go to heaven? What are they going to say? Heaven. Okay, say this prayer. Boom. All right, next. Say this prayer. Boom. Say this prayer. You got to be an idiot to say, I want to go to hell. So every one of those people that prayed that prayer didn't know what they were talking about, but they prayed that prayer because they were promised, if you pray this prayer, you won't go to hell. You're going to go to heaven. Yeah, we got 656. Where are they? He didn't say just make believers. He said to make what?
Disciples.
You get somebody born again, you're responsible for their growth. You're responsible for their growth. Anytime somebody says a prayer of salvation here, they get followed up. They get phone calls. They get invited. Come to the new believers class. Come hook up. Why? Because we're responsible for them. You don't just have babies and leave them in the nursery. Is anybody getting this?
Yes.
We're responsible to make disciples. What's a disciple? A follower. That's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Go therefore. Now, we have the authority to do this. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. Come on, let's go. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Now, teaching them. You are authorized. You are in covenant with God Almighty, which enables you to teach people. Teach them all things that I've commanded you, and lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
Go to Mark chapter 16. I didn't put this in the notes, but we're going to go there. Now, does anybody know what this portion of Scripture, Matthew 28, is called what? The Great Commission. Say it, the Great Commission. Do you know that there's two parts to the Great Commission? There's not only one part to the Great Commission. Matthew 28 is only one part. Mark chapter 16 is the other part. Now, when the Sabbath, is anybody learning anything tonight?
Yes.
Mark chapter 16, verse 1, the last chapter of Mark. Now, and honestly, Mark is really Peter's biography. Okay, Mark is related to Peter. He's telling, this is really Peter's story. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices. They might come and anoint him. Keep going. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, came to the tomb, keep going. And they said among themselves, who will roll this stone? Keep going. In fact, go to verse 15, please. Time's running out tonight. And he said to them, now does this sound familiar?
Yeah.
What did we just read this? Matthew 28, right?
Yes.
All right. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Now he continues. This is Mark's, well, Peter really is reporting the rest of what Jesus said that Mark, Matthew only put down the part about teaching. But watch, this is the rest of the Great Commission. And this is what you were in covenant with God to perform and to walk out. And he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? He who believes in and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. The truth, really, you should say, and he who does not believe is already condemned. Okay? And these signs, say signs.
Signs.
Say it again.
Signs.
And these signs will follow those who what?
Believe.
Do you believe?
Yes.
How many believers do we have in here?
Yes.
All right, so there should be some signs following us. In other words, wherever we go, we should leave a wake behind us, okay? And these signs will follow those who believe. Remember Jesus is saying this, in my name they will cast out demons. Oh, pastor, we're in America. Are you kidding? Maybe 25 years ago you could have said that. And the demons don't even hide anymore. But they got major endorsements from big people. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They will speak with what?
New tongues.
They will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Now, it's not talking about You don't see any snakes up here. There's churches that do that, but it ain't us. What this is saying is while you're traveling, while you're going about God's business, while you're bringing the word of God, while you're going from village to village, from city to city, if you should, God forbid, get bit by a serpent because you're on my business, I'll take care of you. If you drink anything deadly, no means I heard. Look at this one. It's part of the Great Commission. Oh, we don't believe in all that. Is your church one of them laying on hands church? Yeah, because we don't like funerals. They will lay hands on the sick and they... No, you didn't say that like you mean it. They will lay hands on the sick and the sick will what? They will recover. They will recover. They will recover. They will recover. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I could do that. You got hands? Only two prerequisites. Believe and you got hands. You ain't got any hands? Lay your foot. He said they will lay hands. I didn't need to go any further. That's good. You see this? That's why we're in covenant. So that all that God is could be transferred to the church that stayed on the earth after Jesus ascended it to heaven. You and I are representatives of the kingdom of God. Amen. We are the ecclesia, the called out ones, the ones that were called out of the world into the kingdom to represent the kingdom in the world. You getting this?
Yes.
Look, it's about power, not our power, his power. But his power has got to be transferred to those who need it through his church. Church shouldn't be just about words alone. Church shouldn't be just about singing alone. Church should be about alive. God's alive. His spirit's alive. He's moving. He's healing people. He's saving people. He's delivering people. He's impacting people's hearts. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Oh, help us, Lord. Where am I? So, when Stanley gave the goat, who basically represented life to him, when he decided, I'm going to lay this down, he picked up something that at first appearance didn't look like. Until he came in contact with somebody who recognized the power that was standing behind Stanley, the power that was backing him up. We don't realize what we have in us. But that doesn't mean we're not going to be held accountable for it. And I'm telling you, this generation that we're living in right now, this time period, the world needs a church that knows who they are and is not afraid to display that power.
Amen.
The world needs this. This isn't for us. It's for the world. It's for the lost. It's for those who come into our midst that don't know him yet. Sunday, I forget what service it was. After the weekend, all the services blend together. One of the services, I felt like the Holy Spirit impressed me to get a handkerchief. I keep a whole bunch of handkerchiefs in that little table there next to my chair, okay? And pray over that thing and hold on to it according to Acts chapter 19. I'll explain it to you. I said, I believe there's somebody here or there's somebody that knows somebody here that's got a problem in their left lung. Well, it was two individuals here. I don't know if anybody's here tonight. It was 9 o'clock? Okay. So there were two individuals. Both of them, one had a brother, one had a brother-in-law. I said, I'm not assuming that you're here, but I think you're related to somebody. You're here, and you're related to somebody who's got this problem in the left lung. Two women raised their hands. We prayed over the handkerchief, kept the handkerchief with me, because I'll explain that to you when we go to Acts chapter 19. And so afterwards, the end of the service, I said, keep the handkerchiefs up here, because I want them with me while I'm preaching. Okay, because that's what the Apostle Paul did, Acts chapter 19. We'll go to it in a minute. Dennis, start going to Acts chapter 19. Okay? So then at the end of the service, when the two women came up to get the handkerchief, I saw another lady walk up. She's got two handkerchiefs of her own. Are you here tonight?
She was on the back row.
She was on the back row. And I'm looking at him going, okay, she probably wants me to pray for this. And she came up. I said, now, I didn't recognize her, to be honest with you. I don't know. She might have been coming here, but I don't know. I said, do you understand about this? Yes. So the reason I'm coming up is because somebody from your church brought a handkerchief to me when I was sick and I got healed. I'm like, praise God. Now watch. What if I would have said, Lord, I'm not doing that. People are going to think I'm crazy. Now, I remember about 10, 15 years ago, somebody came up and got a handkerchief from us. We prayed over it. Nothing magical about us. Nothing magical about the handkerchief. I'll show you. And sent it to Germany. We didn't know what they were doing. We find out a month and a half later. They sent it to a relative in Germany who was in stage 4 cancer, head-to-toe cancer, and got totally healed. Totally healed. Acts chapter 19. Do you have that scripture? I believe it's yeah. Now, talking about Paul. All right. You go to verse 11. Verse before. Go to verse 11. Just go back one verse. Come on. There it is. Watch this now. Now, watch this. Look at the language. God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Who worked the miracle?
God.
Through who?
Paul.
Because Paul's in covenant with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not because he's the apostle Paul. He's Paul. He's a believer. He's a Christian. Right? Watch this now. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. So in other words, these are people who were too sick to come to where he was. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought to his body, to the sick, and diseases left him. Somebody right now, Google this real quick. Elisha's bones. Google that real quick. I think it's 2 Kings. I'm not sure. Elisha's bones. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And what happened? And diseases what? Left them, and evil spirits went out of them. 2 Kings 13. All right, don't go there yet. We were living in Lakewood before we went out to Bible school. Across the street from us is this little Pentecostal African-American lady, Sister Helen. She living in a house. She has two other women living in the house. One of those women had a teenage son who got involved with gangs. Okay? She's a little concerned because she's this little petite little lady. But man, when you walked in that woman's house, the power of God would manifest. She called me up. Now, this is way before I went to Bible school. She called me up, Pastor Joe. I laugh at my wife. I said, she's calling me Pastor. I said, I don't know. She's calling me Pastor. I need you to come across the street. I need you to pray. Okay. So I go across the street. She tells me, Sister so-and-so, whoever she was, her son, he was what, about 17, 18? Okay. He's hanging around with gangs from Lakewood. And she said she woke up in the middle of the night one night, and there's 5 of them downstairs in her first floor of her house. And she come downstairs. Now, mind you, these guys are all like, and she's a tiny woman. She got into one kid's face because the kid, that mother lived there, started giving a threat. She said, if you ever decide to hit me, I just need to let you know my God answers by fire. And I'm there. I'm like, I'm hanging around with this lady. So what happened? What happened? She said, it's getting worse, it's getting worse, it's getting worse. And so I said, okay, let's do this. So this was when I was a youth pastor. So there was one Sunday night, we had all the youth over our house, and I knew about the situation right across the street. I said, hey, guys, listen, what are we going to do? We're going to grab a handkerchief, and we're going to pray over it. I said, because the lady across the street, she's got a problem with, you know, what's going on there. So we prayed over it. I had all the kids, all the teenagers come over, lay hands on it, prayed over that thing. And then walked across the street, and I said to the other lady, put this in your son's pillow, and he's either going to get saved or get out of this house. Within 5 days, he was gone. She never had another problem, never had another gang member in the house. Gone. We have power that we haven't tapped into. We have power that we haven't tapped into. Are you listening to me? Why? Because we're in covenant with God. When you're in covenant with someone, everything they have is at your disposal. When Stanley went to the next village, that village understood all of the resources, all of the power, all of the military, all of whatever that man has in that village is at the disposal of this man. We now need to respect this man as if he's the chief. You listening?
Yes.
You might remember this in the book of Acts 2. Where there was a Jewish priest who was trying to copy what Jesus was doing. His name is Sceva. He was real skeevy. He's got 7 sons. They tried to cast a demon out of a person, that guy, because they weren't in covenant with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have the power of the Holy Ghost operating on them. You see what I'm saying? Beat all 7 of them up, and they ran away naked and bruised. And what did they say? What did that spirit say when those 7 guys tried to cast a demon out? Paul we know, and Jesus we know. But who are you? Are you getting this?
Yes.
He said, we know about Jesus, and we know about Paul. But who are you? Beat all 7 of them up. What was the difference? Paul's in covenant with God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in covenant with God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. You listening to me?
Yes.
This is real stuff. Did anybody find Elijah? What is it, 2 Kings? 2 Kings chapter 13. Can you give me that so I can read it? Verse 20. 2 Kings chapter 14, was it 13? Verse 20. Elisha died. Now, don't mix him up with Elijah. Elijah didn't die. Elijah got transported to heaven in a whirlwind, in a tornado, okay? He's still alive. He's still there. He'll be coming back soon. Elisha died. This is Elisha now is the person who took Elijah's place, okay? Now, when Elijah died, Elisha had received the promise that he would do 2 times as many miracles as Elijah did. And when Elisha dies, he's 1 miracle short. Watch what happens. Elisha died and they buried him. Now the bands of the Moabites, people that come over from Jordan, would invade the land in the spring of the year. And as they were burying a man, behold, these people that were burying a dead person, not Elisha, another person. As they're burying a man, behold, they saw a marauding band, in other words, bandits, and they cast a man into the grave of Elisha. In other words, the only place they could put this dead body to get out of that cemetery quick enough, they said, it's Elisha's tomb. Open it up, throw him in there. And what happened? When the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet, and they all ran out of the cemetery. Well, Pastor, what has that got to do with the handkerchief? There's an anointing that resides sometimes. There's an anointing that resides sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
I tell the story many times of when we constructed this place. This used to be our teen center. In fact, the first time we rented any space in this building was the teen center. It was for the teenagers. We were still having church and school. And so we had, from where the TV screen is back there, right about here, we didn't have this spot yet. We only had this part. And so we're getting it ready for our teenagers. And we had the teenagers come in here and write scriptures on the concrete, write scriptures on the sheetrock, scriptures, and we would come in here and we would worship, we would pray. Only a small part here. And we had metal folding chairs. You guys came along now, you got it easy. Okay. And the ushers used to have to set up chairs all the time. Metal, cold metal chairs. We thought people had the Holy Ghost because they were shivering. So it's time to put the carpet in the place. And we've been spending time praying in here. We've been spending time praying in the Spirit. Spending time worshiping God. My offices were next door at that time in the building on the corner upstairs. The guy comes to put the carpet in. We let him in. We go back to work next door. About a half an hour later, we hear this guy stumbling up the steps next door. I'm not lying to you. Just stumbling. We could hear the guy stumbling. Me and the youth pastor at that time looking at each other. And sure enough, the guy comes crawling up the steps, opens the door, walks in the reception area of the office, and he goes, "There's something in that room." Like, what do you mean? "I don't know. When I walk in that room, there's a feeling in there. There's something." Me and the youth pastor looking at each other, we're laughing because we know what's going on. This guy stepped into the anointing, didn't know what the heck hit him. He was literally acting like he was drunk. Now, go read Acts chapter 2, what happened on the day of Pentecost. They acted like a bunch of drunks. Because sometimes when you get hit with the Spirit of God like that, you get hit with the power of God. Don't look at me like that. I wish God would do it right now. When you get hit with the power of God sometimes, you have that experience. Amen? Now, it's not a switch. We just can't turn it on and turn it off. It's as the Spirit wills. But that guy walked into this room, and he didn't know what hit him. The anointing is tangible. The anointing is perceptible. It's perceivable. You can feel it sometimes. Not all the time, but you can feel it sometimes. All right, so that's what that handkerchief deal is about. There's nothing magical with the handkerchiefs. We don't make a shrine out of the handkerchiefs. It's there. It's Acts chapter 19. We didn't make it up. Nobody makes it up. Now, have there been people that used it for gimmicks? Absolutely. "Well, come and send me $1,000. I'll send you a square inch of carpet that I kneeled on while I was praying." Throw that stuff in the garbage. You see somebody on TV trying to hawk that stuff, shut the television off. Go watch something else. You don't merchandise stuff that God does for free. Amen. Amen. Amen? But the truth of the matter is, you want me to tell them the story? We were in Bible school. And my wife, you know, Bible school, so I was in the pastor's group. She was in the helps ministry group. In other words, the supportive ministry. Pastor Pam, you were pretty much in that too, right? Oh, that's right. You didn't go that year. All right. So part of her responsibility, my wife, is she's got to work in Brother Kenneth Hagin's office. Anybody ever heard of Brother Kenneth Hagin? Yes. We were privileged and honored to sit under him when he was still here on earth back then. And so she's going to work in the office there. And so she goes to work in the office, and the women say to her, you know, well, the job that you have is you're going to cut up the prayer cloths. Because Brother Hagin comes and prays over the whole bolt. You know what a bolt of cloth is? It's a whole big thing. He prays over the whole thing. And then when people send prayer requests in, they send a prayer cloth for that person for healing. Okay, no charge. But they said to her, "Be careful, because some people get drunk doing this." So she's in that, working in the office there during this class time. The rest of us have assembly. And so I'm in assembly. Pastor Pam was there. Pastor Cap was there. And we're looking like, where's my wife? She's supposed to join us here. Everybody's sitting down. They're starting to have whatever they're doing up on the platform. I'm over here, like on the far side of the room. And there's thousands of people in the room. All of a sudden, we see the door, and she walks in like, I looked at her and I went, "What the heck?" And she's, "Ha, ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha." And I said, "Be quiet." Because it's dead silence in the room, except for her. And she finally flops down in the chair next to me, and I said, "Be quiet." She got drunk in the Holy Ghost from cutting up those cloths. I pray to God it would happen every single time we come together. After we teach. Because the word's got to come first. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Okay, go there. Go to Acts chapter 2. You got your phone? Go to Acts chapter 2. Put your phone to good use. You want to go to Acts chapter 2 back there, Dennis? I'm only going to spend a few minutes here. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Now, when is this? This is 10 days after the ascension, 50 days after the resurrection. Remember Jesus resurrected from the dead? And then 40 days later, what happened? He ascended into heaven. And what did he tell them before he ascended into heaven? Stay in Jerusalem, because not many days from now, my Father's going to send the promise. Amen?
Amen.
And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, so this is 50th day, on the very day of that holiday. They were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly, say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So this couldn't have taken place by the temple. This is in the Solomon's porch. This is where Jesus used to go to pray and to teach. Okay? And suddenly there was a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled. How many?
All.
Well, Pastor, you know that gift is not for everybody. Really? That's not what it says here. Well, you know, some people get it, some people don't. Not what it says here. And how many were filled?
All.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and did what? You see how you got quiet? You see how you got quiet? This is how we should read it. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And they were there in Jerusalem dwelling Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Why? Because it's a major holiday that the Jews had to go to Jerusalem to celebrate. In fact, most of the time, they went for Passover and stayed for this holiday 50 days later. Okay? And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? In other words, we know these people. We know we can recognize their accent. Okay? And how is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? And then it goes on to mention all the areas of the Roman Empire from where they came from. Verse 11, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So each one of them is praising God in a language that they had never known. And the people from these countries are understanding everything they're saying. Are you getting how miraculous this is?
Yes.
So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Verse 13, now I want you to pay attention. Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days. That's why we say the last days started 2,000 years ago. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Young men, you're going to see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. I'm in between visions and dreams. Holding on to visions as much as I can. That's why I love to hang around with the young people. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and the signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire, vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day that whoever calls on the name of the Lord Come on, say it nice and loud. Shall be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord?
Yes.
Then this experience belongs to you.
Amen.
Don't give me that stuff, well, I passed away with the first apostle. Doesn't say that in the scriptures. In fact, let's go down to chapter 2, verse 38. Let's start in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, talking to the Jewish religious people, whom you crucified, he made him both Lord and Christ. Now the people that were gathered there, the multitudes of Jewish people that came to celebrate this holiday, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? What are we going to do? We crucified the Messiah. And Peter said to them, repent. Change your mind about who Jesus is. Renounce the sin in your life. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And look at what it says next. Read it nice and loud with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Has God stopped calling people?
No.
Then the promise of the Holy Ghost is for today, just like it was 2,000 years ago. It didn't stop at any given time. It wasn't for just back then. The Holy Spirit didn't stop working miracles. The Holy Spirit didn't stop baptizing people, because it's really Jesus who baptizes people in the Holy Ghost. You getting this?
Yes.
The pattern of the early church. You get born again. You get baptized either in the Holy Ghost or you get baptized in water, but one way or the other. It's three different things. You get saved, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you get baptized in water. That's the early church. That is the only church that we have in Scripture. Nowhere is there ever mentioned in Scripture where a person gets saved and they don't get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's all part of the package. All leads into each other. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's where the power is. Jesus said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of my Father. Now, they were already born again. At that point, they're already born again. Why? Because you look at John chapter 20, the last chapter of John. Jesus comes in the room where they're all gathered. He breathed on them. And what happened? They received the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Spirit. Salvation. If you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit in you. But he said, don't leave Jerusalem. In fact, he said, don't even leave this place until you receive the promise of my Father, which is a secondary experience for the person who's already born again. Anybody in the world can get saved, but only a saved person can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what does it got to do with covenant? I'm so glad you asked. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Did God make a covenant with Abraham?
Yes.
Yeah, about a half a dozen people know. Did God make a covenant with Abraham?
Yes.
Galatians is in the New Testament, right?
Yes.
I don't hear nobody else turning pages except me. Galatians chapter 3. We're talking about covenant, right? Read this with me really, really carefully. Read this with me. Don't read it out loud, but did you put it up there?
Yeah.
Oh, you got it up here. Look at this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, what's the curse of the law? How did the curse of the law come on us? Breaking covenant. Broke covenant. We broke covenant. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Can I have about 2 more minutes?
Yeah.
Time just flew by here tonight. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Look at this. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. What is the tree always symbolic of?
Cross.
The cross. You remember Exodus? The water was polluted. God showed Moses, take that tree, throw it in the water. And the waters became sweet. That's your experience at the cross. The bitterness of life. Amen. You got it? Got it? You remember that, right? Now watch. What is the reason why we've been redeemed from the curse of the law? We can say this. We've been redeemed from the curse that came on us because of covenant being broken. For what reason? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Stop there. Oh, the blessing of Abraham. Oh, so wealth, herds, servants, properties, riches, gold, silver. Is that the blessings of Abraham? Oh, yeah. But is there more to the blessing of Abraham? Right. Look at the most important part. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That, read it real loud with me, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's the reason why God made covenant with Abraham. Not just to give him money, not just to give him slaves, not just to give him property, not just to increase his herds. That was the reason why. Because the Spirit of God had to come back in man, because when Adam sinned, the Spirit of God had to depart. Are you getting this? This should have made somebody happy. The Spirit of the living God is not only in us, but upon us. He's in us so that we go to heaven. He's upon us so we can live on earth. People say, do you have to have the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? You know where I'm going. You got to have the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. You got to have the Holy Spirit to live on this planet. You got to have the Holy Ghost active in your life. Why? Because we're living in dangerous times, perilous times. We don't know from one day to the next what the heck is going to happen on this earth. You need the Holy Spirit. So he's the Spirit of God, yes? So if we're in covenant with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, then God is obligated to provide his Spirit to us. Why? Because we're in covenant with him through Jesus. Amen. Are you getting this? I just gave you the end of the series in the beginning. Be hungry for this. Be hungry for this, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the entrance into the miraculous of God. Go read the book of Acts. Every person in the book of Acts that got born again, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. Oh, I don't want that stuff. What do you mean you don't want that stuff? We should want everything that God has for us. You maybe were taught wrong, but just because you were taught wrong doesn't mean that the gift isn't genuine. It's there. It's there. It's necessary. We build our spirits up. We build us, Jude says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It's like a generator. It's like a dynamo on the inside. I can usually get a gauge on what kind of day I'm going to have or what kind of week it's going to be. If I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm already praying in tongues, I'm already praying in the Spirit, I'm going, okay, what's going on? What are you building me up for? What kind of gathering demoniac am I going to come in contact with today? Because our spirit craves, our spirit wants him. Our spirit wants to be used by the Holy Spirit. Say, but I don't understand what I'm saying when I pray in tongues. It's not about you understanding. It's about the Holy Spirit using you to pray out the divine will of the Father. You can't pray wrong. I saw somebody post something about intercessory prayer. And I know the person doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, what kind of intercession are you going to have without the baptism? How could you have intercession without praying in tongues? How do you intercede for somebody? You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know what they're involved in. You don't know what danger is coming to them. You might even not even know their name. You might just get a faith. How are you going to pray for somebody in your head knowledge? What are you going to do? Oh, God bless them. Oh, God bless them. Oh, God bless them. What if they've got a 18-wheeler heading their way? They don't need God to bless them. They need God to protect them and deliver them. And you're there, oh, God bless them. Oh, God bless them, because that's all you know how to pray. Oh, God prosper them. Oh, God do this. No, when you pray in the Spirit, you're tapping into the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is giving you inside information. Hallelujah. Look, I know it's late. We got to go. Kids are over there. The teachers are probably mad because the service went long. Teenagers are happy because they can stay longer and play Gaga Pit. But listen, do you want that gift?
Yes.
Do you want that gift?
Yes.
Come up here. Let's see how bad you want it. Come on. We're going to pray for these people. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Preach myself hoarse. Come on, come on, come on. Are you coming up to pray for people? Well, you got this already. What are you coming up here for? No, go stand on the side. Make room for somebody else. Are you Keith, you coming up here to pray for people? All right, go over there in case I need you. Because you got this already. Hallelujah. And you all came here tonight, all non-denominational. You're all going to leave Pentecostals. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hey, listen, listen. Oh, this is old school. Honey, the world needs old school right now. The world needs a church that's got the fire of God in them. Now, I hope you didn't come up here with the, well, let's see what happens thing. You received this by faith. How did you get born again? And how you receive anything from God is by faith. You receive it by faith. And so, don't expect some kind of magical thing to happen. You got vocal cords. They have to be used. Okay? Anybody else back there that already has this gift, I want you to stand up and start praying for these people. Stay where you're at. Just stand up and start praying for them. Start praying in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Don't go praying patty cake prayers. Pray in the Spirit. Okay? Now, the Bible tells us that through the hands of the apostles that this gift could be imparted, but doesn't have to be. I received it in my family room with nobody else around. I said, God, I hear these people talking about this baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know I'm born again, but I want more. I want everything you have for me. Amen. I want everything you have for me. So I just lifted my hands and I started praising God. Oh, my God. Dear Jesus, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. And that wasn't an angel that got its wings. So let's just lift our hands up to the Lord. We're here. He responds to desire. He responds to hunger. He responds to this. And listen, okay? You can receive tonight instantaneously, but just start worshiping God and then start whatever comes up from the inside. You're going to start feeling the words, syllables coming up. Just open your mouth and start praying. But let's just praise God in our regular language now. Father, go ahead. Father, we bless you. Father, we honor you. Father, we give you the glory, the praise, the thanksgiving, Father. Your people are here tonight, Father, hungry, hungry for the fire of God, hungry for the power of God, hungry, Father, for the Holy Ghost, hungry for the power of the Holy Ghost to be upon them. Father, in the name of Jesus, Jesus, you are the baptizer. You baptize in the Holy Ghost. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, baptize your people tonight. Start praying in the Spirit, those at your seat. Eda sheta la masota e brekese and brekasiko. Come on, people. All of my pastors, start laying hands on everybody. Yeta kosote makite le bre satiri anku. Come on, let me hear you. Yeda shete brekesta namboskate nimbrashoto oribokoshe nembaka yasote le makise kere batalo mahodike. Yesh tatalamboso. Father, in the name of Jesus, baptize my brother here right now in the Holy Ghost. Baptize him in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Baptize him in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, Father God. Let that gift flow freely. Flow freely. Come here, sweetheart. In the name of Jesus, Father God. Power. 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 Jesus, we're asking you. You're the baptizer. We're up here by faith. Lord God, trusting that you're going to baptize your people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Seconde Makele Brosote. Come on, move down here. Keith, come up here. Both of you guys. You got this already. Go down here and start laying hands on people. Just pray in the Spirit. Go down there and start laying hands on people. Go pray in the spirit. Victor. Victor, come up here. Raina, you back there? Come up here. Start laying hands on people. Listen, if you got to go pick up your kids, go right ahead. But we're going to leave here different tonight. In the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Mashirihai. Nambrola seka, nambrola keme, akela bresa de mana kundonsa de vrika de basha kolame. Yesato de mbrekati ago de shtelam aha. The demand of the seat, the fire drives it all out. In the name of Jesus, the fire drives it all out. In the name of Jesus, God. Oh, rabakidele mesa dabra kashtamba kosote brakia, embrea tomoda kobe si de kitahai. Yeda koshona makede. Yala brokota sendema, yeta brokota simina kide beshe, yala brokoka. Yeah, go ahead. Just open your mouth and start speaking. Just open your mouth and start speaking. Go ahead. You don't need somebody to lay hands on you. Just go right ahead. Receive, receive, receive in the name of Jesus. Receive just like they did back then. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Can you come down here and start helping? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did anybody pray for you? Did you get prayed for? I've been waiting so long. No, he'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. Just receive it by faith. Open your mouth by faith. Say, God, fill my mouth. Fill my mouth. Fill my mouth. Fill my mouth. Yebakoda medesi de karadoshe. Oh, lebrose. Yeta brosa. Yanta brashe. Yibra kostake. Yanda motosidaba. Yeah, just open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Yebakada sodakita bakashe. Thank you, God. 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 Yatabo. Yetama. Hallelujah. Besakodame. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're good. You're good. Just lay there and relax. Just relax. Just enjoy it.
That's a beautiful thing.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. 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 Receive that by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you pray for anybody?
Yeah.
Down in the middle there, there's a bunch of people that didn't get prayed for. Go around that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don Alardi, come up here. Hallelujah. Boy, did God pull a surprise on us tonight. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Pray for my brother right there. Pray for my brother right there. Glory to God. Don's praying for him. Don's praying for him. Hallelujah. 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 Power of God. Father, the power of God on my brother's life. Power of God on my brother's life, God. The fire of God, drive everything out of him, God. That's not from you. Drive everything out that's not from you, Father. In the name of Jesus, right? It's real. It's real. It's real. Come here. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's just real peaceful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ingrid, you okay? You're good, right? Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He's good. Say the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
And his mercy endures forever.
Say, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
His mercy endures forever.
Say this with me, thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Who comes upon believers.
Who comes upon believers.
Who equips us for service.
Who equips us for service.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Now, if I'm not mistaken, we have little booklets for this, don't we? Yes, where are you? I hear your voice. Oh, there you are. We have booklets, that, you know, because you want to take something home and show you in the Word, because this is not just about experiences. This is about in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
You got to see it in the Word. Glory to God. Now you got a prayer language. Well, I don't know. It didn't happen tonight. You received a prayer language. It might hit you 2 o'clock in the morning. May hit you tomorrow. Might hit you when you get in the car. May just speak it out. Just speak it out. By faith, by faith, by faith. Hallelujah. That, come on, let's lift our hands up to the Lord. Father, thank you for all that you've done here tonight. Lord, I didn't see this one coming. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We are on fire for God.
Amen.
Make that declaration over your life. Say that with me. We are on fire for God.
Amen.
Say the fire. Say this. The fire of the Holy Ghost,
the fire of the Holy Ghost
is on me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now listen. Amen. Listen before we go. Now let's be real with each other. Some of you have got some teaching to get rid of. Some of you were intentionally taught that this is not for today. And so that's something you're going to have to deal with. You're going to have to go plunge in the Word and go find out what God says about it.
Amen.
Okay? Well, you know, where I go to church. No, forget about that. Okay? Go in the Word. Go in the Word. Go in the Word. I gave you some tonight. Go in the Word for yourself and go find out what God says about this.
Amen.
Okay?
Thank you, Jesus.
If this isn't for today, then that means that God's not saving people anymore. And we know that's not true.
Amen.
We know that's not true. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
I don't know what else to do at this point but to say good night. Now listen, don't leave it here.
Amen.
Take this with you.
Amen.
Take it with you. You practice it on your own. You give yourself up and say, Holy Ghost, just pray through me, whatever. Ba, 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 black sheep, whatever. Doesn't. Just open up your mouth. Open up your mouth.